Let's look at Proverbs 1 and verse 12, and then we'll be done for the night. This is a shorter one. Proverbs 1 and verse 12. We're talking about people here. Let's just get verses 10 through 12 to get the context. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. And then verse 12, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. Okay, I was wrong. It's the verse after this we learn what the real reason is behind these machinations. But here they say, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. So these wicked conspirators devise a plan to swallow up the innocent alive and whole. Right? This is what Solomon says. And Solomon likely learned of the ways of these evildoers from his father David, who begged God to deliver him from just that type of people. Psalm 56, 1 through 2. There are people out there that would just like to swallow up the innocent alive and whole, just to basically take their stuff. And that's what Solomon gets into in the next verse. Psalm 56, verses 1 through 2. David says, this is David. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. Remember what they said? Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. David said the same thing. They want to swallow me up. These immoral men learned this tactic of swallowing up their prey alive from their father, the devil, who's called that old serpent. Remember, it says that in Revelation 12 and verse 9, he's called the devil, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. And remember, that old serpent was called a murderer from the beginning. Remember that in John 8, verse 44. We've been over this verse many times in the series on Satan that we're doing in church now. John 8, 44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, who were children of the devil, just like Solomon is describing here in Proverbs 1, he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's a murderer from the beginning. So these guys are just following in the steps of that old serpent, the devil, who's a murderer from the beginning. Now the thing about snakes is, and especially, well, probably, I think most snakes, I don't know if there's exceptions to this or not, but snakes swallow up their victims alive and whole, or at least whole. Some of them alive, some of them kill them first, like the boa constrictors. They squeeze the life out of them and then swallow them up. And the pythons do the same thing. I think anacondas do that as well. So they basically squeeze you to the point where your lungs collapse and you can't take another breath, and then you die, and then they eat you whole. And some of them, like that poor woman in Indonesia here last year or this year, she actually got swallowed up alive and whole. I think I told you about that before. Yeah, she went out there to check on the rice paddy or something, and she didn't come back, and they went looking for her, and they found her purse laying there, and then they found this big old fat python with a, you know, a 5-foot-long, large, protruding section of his belly, and kind of put two and two together, killed the python, sliced him open, and there she is, clothes and all, inside a python. These men learned this from their father, the devil, who is an old serpent. And what else do snakes do? They lay wait in the grass and lurk privily for their prey. Isn't that what they do? Isn't that what these men want to do? Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. They lurk privily for their own lives, we're told. In verse 11, Proverbs 1 and verse 11. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. I think that's how he said it. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood like snakes. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Just like their father the devil. Just like the serpents that they are. Remember, they're called, Jesus called them, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? The serpent's children do the works of their father. Remember in John 8 and verse 44, he said, ye do the works of your father. John 8 and verse 41. Ye do the deeds. That's what he said. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus tells them, No, God is not your Father. If he was, you'd be listening to what I had to say. You see, because these people are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Right? This is exactly what they're planning to do. Murder somebody, which is an act of wrath, and this is their very nature as the serpent's children. Ephesians 2 and verse 3. Like I was talking about in the last proverb, this is what we would all be like if God would remove the restraining hand. We're all children of wrath by nature. Ephesians 2 and verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And the children of wrath are described in Romans 1:29 as being full of murder. Romans 1 and verse 29. Aren't you glad that God restrains the wrath of wicked people? You can imagine if everybody out there that wasn't a child of God, which is like 90% of the population or more, you can imagine if they're all out there laying wait for blood. Every corner you go around, somebody's they're waiting to kill you or something. It'd be a horrible place to live. Romans 1 and verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Full of murder, that is those that have been given up to a reprobate mind. So, knowing that there are wicked men in the world who plot and scheme to murder the righteous could make a man paranoid and afraid to leave the house. That is not the purpose of this Bible study tonight. I don't want you to be paranoid. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to be aware. I've mentioned this before, but there's no reason to be afraid. But to be aware is a good idea. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 15. It's a good idea to be circumspect in our lives, both spiritually and naturally as well. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. It says, See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly is one of those words where you can kind of look at the root words that it's made out of and you can figure out what it's saying. Circum, like a circle, right? Spectly, like spectacles, looking in a circle or looking around. That's what circumspectly basically means. Looking around, paying attention, considering your ways. And this is true in a spiritual sense, which is what Paul is getting at there in Ephesians, but it's also true in a natural sense. Paul talked about this, Solomon talked about this in Proverbs 22, verse 3. You'll recognize this verse whenever you see it. Proverbs 22, 3, A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You see, the prudent man is the man that heeds Solomon's words there in Proverbs chapter 1. When sinners entice him, he doesn't consent. When they say, come with us, he says, no way, right? He foresees the evil, says, these guys are bad, bad news. He stays away from them. The simple just go, oh, seem like nice guys to me. Oh, let us all have one purse. Let's all, you know, put our finances together. It might be a little bit of security in that or something, right? Simple-minded, not thinking, pass on. He'll be punished. We'll talk about that in the coming verses. But the thing is, though it's a good idea to look around, to pay attention, you know, to foresee the evil and that kind of thing, and to be aware that there are wicked people out there, that's good, but we must never be driven by fear, because the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. So I don't want anybody leaving here tonight and being paranoid that there's somebody lurking around the corner for them or something. That's not how we need to live. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. It says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. You see, the spirit of fear says, I'm never going to leave my house. The spirit of power and love and of a sound mind, and that walks circumspectly, says, I'm going to leave my house, but you know what? Before I walk out the door, I might take a peek, you know, just see if there's anybody standing there. When I walk out of the store, I might just kind of, you know, do a left and a right there just to make sure. When I walk out to my car and it's in a parking lot and it's dark at night, I'm not going to be looking down at my phone or goofing around looking for my keys. I'm going to be walking around just kind of looking. You know, I'm just going to pay attention. I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to lock the door whenever I get in there before I start doing my thing or whatever. That kind of thing. I'm not afraid to go out to the store at night, but I'm also not just going to be not paying any attention whatsoever. Right? You got to have a balance there. So that's what I'm trying to get at. That's all. So how do we fear not, like the Bible tells us in numerous places, if we live in a dangerous world? Well, fear needs to be countered with faith, and trepidation needs to be countered with trust. Let's look at Psalm 56, 3 through 4. Remember, this is the psalm that we looked at here just a minute ago, where I talked about how David had firsthand experience with this, and he prays that God will deliver him from these wicked men that would swallow him up. And then look at what he does here. He counters fear with faith. Psalm 56, 3 through 4. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." You see, fear is the opposite of faith. Perfect love casts out fear, we're told in the Bible. And faith cast out fear. Because ultimately, if you are afraid of something, what is the root cause? You're not trusting in God to take care of you, right? If you're afraid you're going to die, you're afraid you're going to get cancer, you're afraid this, or you're afraid you're going to fail a test, or you're afraid you're going to get fired at work, or you're afraid your kids aren't going to turn out well, or you're afraid of whatever, right? You're not trusting, right? If you trust God that he's going to take care of this stuff, and maybe everything's not going to go perfectly, and maybe I will die of young of some disease, it's possible, but I'm not going to be worried about it. I'm not going to fear it, right? Because then the faith will counteract the fear. We're told that we should never fear what men can do to us in Hebrews 13 and verse 6. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. There's bad people out there that would like to do us harm. I'm sure if the devil had his way, he'd murder us all, right? He probably can surf the internet like everybody else can. He can probably find true churches out there if he didn't have other methods of finding them. If he knows this is a true church, and he probably does, he'd knock us off immediately. I would think if it wasn't for the Lord's protecting hand, so we don't need to fear what man can do to us because we have the Lord on our side. Hebrews 13:6. Let's just get verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." And get this. "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I will not fear. So just tell yourself that the next time you start to fear, just say, I will not fear what man can do to me. At what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now, the thing is, the reprobates who desire to swallow up the righteous, as those that go down into the pit, they are the ones that are going to be swallowed up in the grave, in the pit, and in hell. This is what's coming to them. And we're just going to end here with a few verses that's going to tell us the end of the reprobates like Solomon's talking about here. Proverbs 28 and verse 17. This is God's justice. God takes people that want to swallow up people, like put them into a pit, and he says, okay, I'll put you in a pit. Proverbs 28 and verse 17. It says, "A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person," which is precisely who we're looking at here in Proverbs chapter 1. "A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Let no man protect him." He's going to the pit, which is the grave. Look at the Psalm 7, 14 through 16. Psalm 7, 14 through 16. It says, "Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood." Kind of like these guys that we're looking at. "He hath made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own pate." That's his head, his skull. The Lord is going to bring his violence down on his own head. These guys that lay wait for blood, they're going to fall into their own pit. One more, Psalm chapter 9, 15 through 17. It says, "The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." That's the ultimate demise of men like this, that lay wait for blood and that want to swallow up the people alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. They're going to go down into the deepest pit, into hell, and that's where they're going to spend the rest of their existence. So that'll take care of Proverbs 1 and verse 12. Next time, Lord willing, we will start with verse 13.